Book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, starting from verse 1.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them.
Okay, now here, when you say rule them, this is not only for the shepherd. This message was given for the kings, priests, and prophets. All those people, they're supposed to take care of their citizens. But we learn in the book of Jeremiah and other Old Testament books, the kings were not taking care of their citizens, and the prophets were not prophesying properly. Priests were not treating Israeli people properly, and they suffer in the hand of king, prophets, and priests. They're supposed to take care of their citizens. King is just like a shepherd. King has to take care of his citizens. And the prophet has to give the message from the Lord, and the priest has to intercede between man and God. But they were not doing their proper job. And we learn in the book of Jeremiah, also Jeremiah was telling the same thing, the shepherds or the pastors are not taking care of their sheep. Today also we see some of the kings and some of the prime ministers, the countries you see, and some dictators, they do not take care of the people, but they take care of their belly. And the same way today, pastors and the ministers, there are so many. Some churches, they have hundreds and thousands, some millions of believers. And if you ask the pastor, he would not know the names of the believers. And so they might be getting millions of dollars of offering. Some churches, I heard somebody came and robbed the church, and they said more than $2 million were in the offering. So you can see every week people can get $2 million in the offering, but they are not taking care of their flock. If the believers try to call the pastor, you will not get the pastor. You might get the secretary or somebody maybe recorded message or something like that. So from that we know most of the people, they are after their belly. They are not after the sheep. And here the word of God is saying, this was before the Israeli people went to captivity. This was before the people went to captivity, how the Israeli people were treating their flock, treating their citizens. And God was saying, you are not taking care of my sheep. You are just thinking about your belly. You are thinking about your prophet, and you are not looking after my sheep. Means you are not looking after the citizens. And the citizens were suffering. We learned that the bloodshed was happening among the people. The kings or the prophets or the priest or the princes, they were treating Israeli people very bad. Before they even went to exile, people were hiding in the mountains and hiding in different places. And that's why he says some of the wild beasts came and destroyed them, because they were scared to stay in the city. They were scared to stay in their government. They were leaving because there was a persecution. Verse 5.
And they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them.
Now here it's saying, my sheep scatter on the mountains, not only that, all around the world, and nobody was going and searching for the sheep. Today also, Israeli people are scattered all around the world. And some places, what happened, the Israeli people, or wherever they went, they learned the local languages and they start working with those people. And many people didn't know that these people are Jewish. There was a one man in a Bombay city, he was my neighbor. He gave me a very good book on the Bible research. And I asked him, are you Christian? He said, no, I am Jewish. And so, point I'm making, there are so many Jewish people scattered around the world and nobody knows even that they are Jewish people. Recently, I found one group. That man is a Jewish pastor and he goes to the Africa, India and certain places and looking for the lost sheep and getting those people and bringing them back to Jerusalem. But as we learn the word of God, as we read, nobody was looking for the lost sheep. How Jesus Christ came and looking for the lost sheep of Israel. Now, if you remember, when Jesus Christ was going to places, but he never left Jerusalem or the Judea. He never went to another, only far places only he went to Samaria. After that, he didn't go to any other countries. But there are some stories are there. People said, oh, Jesus Christ came to Himalaya, Jesus Christ came to some European countries, and there are stories making, because when Jesus Christ was preaching in that synagogue, when he was 12 years old and mother and father seeking, and they came and they scold him, why did you do these things? And then he said, I should be in my father's house. After that, the word of God says, he went and listened to mom and stayed 30 years. There was no record that Jesus traveled anywhere. But people took that advantage from 12 years to 30 years. They say, oh, he came to India and he went to some different places. But the point I'm making, Jesus Christ came and worked in Judea and surrounding places. That's why that lady came from foreign country and she said, could you please heal my daughter? She is demon possessed. And Jesus just ignored her and kept on walking. But she kept on going after him and she said, please do something for my daughter. And she fell down and worshipped him and talked to him. He said, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Those days, the Israeli people were thinking, all Gentiles like a dogs. So only Jewish people, they worship the Lord and they know God and things like that. So when Jesus Christ said that, she said, okay, Master, even the crumbs falls from the tables. And so I just am like a small puppy. Give me some crumbs. So Jesus said, you have a great faith. Go and your daughter is healed. So the point I'm making, at that time, Jesus Christ did not go to another places because God sent him to the lost sheep. That's what his work was. And then you see Jesus Christ appointed 12 apostles, that is in Matthew chapter 10. And then afterwards, he needed more people to go to more places. He said, you know, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So I want to appoint more people. And the Luke chapter 10, he appointed 70 more. But the message was given to them, or the order or the commandment was given to them, do not go to any other country. Just go to the lost sheep of Israel. So those people also did the same. Now from this, many people will read the Bible and say Jesus Christ was prejudiced because he said to that lady, you are a dog, we don't give the bread to the dogs. And disciples also, he said, don't go to any other places, but go to the Israeli people only. And some people will say, then he was prejudiced. He did not come to save the whole world. He just came to save the Israeli people. But later on, if you know, in book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses, starting from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So that means he was not prejudiced. He wanted to just establish the kingdom of God or give the message of the kingdom of God first to Jewish people and then to Gentiles. That's why he says, start from the Jerusalem and then go to Judea, then go to Samaria, and then go out to the most part of the world. And so Jesus Christ sent the message, not only the lost sheep of Israel, but around the whole world. So he was not prejudiced. Okay, verse 7.
Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country.
Now, here the word of God is saying, God is going to search his people. Now, this he's talking about the end time. Because people are still scattered, and many people are coming, but some people are having a lot of business in other countries, and they are rich. They are not coming back to Israel, but when the persecution starts, Germany or Russia or France or some other places, then they leave everything and go. And so the time has come, people are leaving other countries willingly and coming. And many people came to Israel from Africa and from Russia and some Germany and Europe. But if you go and interview them and ask them, did you make a mistake coming here or are you happy? They are so glad that they came back and they are happy that they are in their land. But the time is coming. Here the word of God is saying, this is not for right away, but this is talking about the millennium, what God is going to do with his people. Right now, the children of Israel, they are suffered so many places and so many states and so many countries, and still they are suffering. And when they are in their back to their countries, still other people are harassing them. But God saying, I'm going to bring you, and you will be going in your mountain, going to your rivers, going everywhere, and nobody will bother you. Today, Israeli people or their children or their grandchildren, they are not free to wander around on the streets because they have to worry about these Muslim people. Verse 14.
I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God.
Now, when you say, I'll feed you, and I will let you lie down, what does that mean? When you eat and relax and sleep, take a nap, that means you are not worried about anybody bothering you or any bomb scare or any siren coming. So God is saying, I'm going to take care of you. David had this kind of vision. If you read the Psalm 23, please read. Here the David says how the good shepherd does, how he takes care of his sheep and his flock. Please read.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
See, this is what the vision that David had, and he was singing and making the song. The Lord is my shepherd, and what? I shall not want. Means, if the Lord is taking care of you, you do not have to worry about tomorrow. What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to keep my money. All these worries will go away. Once you are born again, child of God, then you trust in God. God becomes your source of your supply. And Matthew chapter 6, if you read from verse 25, please read, 25 to 33, you know that God is trying to tell us, you don't have to worry about anything. The Lord is our shepherd. He supplies our needs. Please read.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Did you notice what he says? All these things Gentiles look for. Who are the Gentiles? Who doesn't have God? Those are the people who are worried about how they are going to eat, what they are going to wear, where they are going to live, who is going to supply their needs, and they are worried. He says the Gentiles worried. He said the King Solomon was a very good, rich king, but he didn't have the colorful clothes than the flowers and lilies on the field. And he says God gives the food to the ravens and the birds and the animals. Our God is great God. Once you trust in him, he supplies our needs. And we have so many examples. The people who trusted him, even the 20th century or 18th century or 19th century or even today, but when they trust in God, God gives to them in their plate, in their house, somebody leaves the, some kind of money for them, and some good things happens. They don't have to worry for tomorrow. Once you trust in God, the word of God said, do not trust any king, do not trust any man. You should be trusting in the living God. God is always there, and he supplies our needs. So that's why God says, I'm going to take care of you. You don't have to worry. God is the one who supplies our need. So he said, don't do it like a heathen people, worrying. Just trust in God. Okay, verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16.
I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgments.
God is concerned about the sick and afflicted and the weak and do not have a strength, because God says, I'm going to do this. Even somebody sick, I'll take care of it. Somebody's leg broken or something, I'll fix it. I'll put a patch on it, or I'll put the bandaid on it, and I'll try to heal it. And that's why Jesus Christ first came into this world. After the receiving the Holy Spirit, he goes to the temple and he takes the book of Isaiah chapter 61 and start reading. And what he was reading, let's read the Luke chapter 4, starting from verse 18. This same chapter he read it in from book of Isaiah. Okay.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
See, Jesus Christ came and took the book, and exactly the point he starts saying, this is the reason I have come. There are some poor people, nobody cares. So the gospel is for poor. Somebody says, then gospel is not for the rich people. Gospel is for everyone, the poor in heart, who has the desire to learn the Word of God, to study the Word of God. He says, God is giving message to everyone. But some people, rich people, they don't care about the message because they think what we are going to get. You remember one rich man came and he asked Jesus, what should I do to get the eternal life? Jesus Christ says, do all these commandments. He said, I did all these commandments from my childhood. Then Jesus Christ said, okay, whatever you have, sell everything, give it to the poor people, and follow me. And the word of God says he was very rich, and he went sorrowfully, and Jesus starts saying to his disciple, you know, it is very hard for a rich man to go to heaven. Then the disciple said, then who will go to heaven? He said, there is nothing impossible with God. God knows how to save rich, poor, and everyone. The God is looking for the heart, the person's heart. Doesn't matter you are rich or poor, God is looking at your heart. We learned last week, Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was taking money from other people, and he was very rich, taking money from people which he's not supposed to get. But he wanted to see Jesus. His heart was looking for Christ. What Christ says, Zacchaeus, come down, and I want to come to your house. The point I'm making, God is looking for your heart. The gospel is preached around the world today. But there are people, they are very busy. They don't have time for the gospel. They don't have time for God. They are looking for job, looking for husband, looking for wife, looking for something. What God says, I know what you need. You are looking like a Gentile. But if you just trust in me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things, what the world is looking, I'll give it to you. And that is my experience. When I give up everything and follow the Lord, I am not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about anything I am lacking. Because as we read, Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Let's make the Lord is our shepherd and we will never be wanting anything. Go back to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 34, verse 20.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle.
The word of God is saying cattle between cattle, and ram between goats. Now there are some people, even the believers, they just take care of themselves. They don't care about others. You don't give the tithe. You don't give more money. You have no good clothes. Why don't you sit somewhere else? I saw that once. Some people used to come to our church, some people from far away, and we had the food every Sunday. And so the people are lining up. Where are you coming from? So they come from the poor neighborhood. Why don't you stay some further or wait until we get it? And I come to know and I call those people and say, listen, this is the house of God. The people who come to our church, they are poor, they are not having good clothes, but we have to love each and everyone the same way. The point I'm making, this is what the word of God is saying. The sheep are trying to harass another sheep. And what they do, they said, they have horns, they are a little bit strong, they push somebody around and eat. You saw sometimes coyotes, foxes, or some other dogs, if they are wild and there is a food, they're eating themselves. But if somebody took a piece and going there, they will leave that piece and go after the other person who has the small piece and fight for that. So they are some selfish. They have more, but somebody has a less. They want to go and take less from them. That's what the people do. So he is saying, I know some of the people in your church, in your congregation, or in your kingdom do not take care of sheep. They take care of themselves. They push them around. Verse 23.
And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods.
God says, I did not find any good shepherd. He was talking through Jeremiah. Now he's talking through Ezekiel. And he says, in the book of Ezekiel, we learn that he says, I was seeking for one man who can stand in the gap. But he said, I could not find any. Now he says, I know one person, David. That David was a good shepherd. And if you remember, when he said to the King Saul, I can go and fight the Goliath. He said, you are so short. You don't have that much strength. And how are you going to do it? He gave two examples. He said, when the lion came, I killed him with my bare hand. And the bear came, and I killed him with my bare hand. So that Philistine will be like one of them. And the following verse, he says, not only I'm going to make him a shepherd, but the David a prince. Same thing happened. David was a shepherd boy, and he became a king. And Jesus Christ came as a shepherd, and we read in St. John chapter 10, he says, I'm a good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. So Jesus Christ came, and he did more than what David did. Jesus Christ says, I give my life, and many people like animals, all the Sadducees and Pharisees and all people, every time they were like a vultures trying to destroy him. But even the Pilate starts saying, you listen to me, you answer me, and I have power to release you. What did he say? You don't have any power. If God doesn't give you power, you have no power. And he tried to do his best, but he was not able to release him because he said, I give my life and I can take my life back. And so here the word of God is saying, the good shepherd gives his life for sheep and he doesn't run away. But Jesus Christ says, a hireling, the paid servant, when the problem comes, they leave their sheep and they run away. But the person who is a good shepherd, he tried to put his life on the line for the sheep, and he rescues them. So he said, up to now, nobody did it. I'm searching for the shepherd, person like David. Let's read the verse 26.
And I will make them into the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid.
Now here the word of God is saying, the time is coming. I am going to get my sheep from all around the world, and gather them. So when I bring them and put them together, nobody will destroy them. Now Jesus Christ came first, and he said to his people, I wanted to take you under my wings and protect you, but you didn't listen. But Jesus Christ came first time as a babe in the manger, and when he grew, he became like a shepherd, and he gave his life for the sheep. But now when he's coming back, he's not coming back as a baby. That's why he says that David the prince. The Jesus Christ is coming back as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that time, not a single king or the single prince or the single country will be able to defeat Jesus Christ. He's going to defeat all the enemies, and he's going to establish his kingdom. When his kingdom, peaceful kingdom, will be there, not a single enemy will be able to defeat Israeli people. Okay, verse 29.
And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God.
So here is saying, no one will be able to harm them again. Now you have to read the in a book of Isaiah, a couple of places, he says a little bit about the millennium kingdom. Let's read Isaiah 65 verses 20 to 25.
There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die an 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed.
Now here is saying, in the millennium, not a single miscarriage will be there. Nobody will kill their babies. Even that they are sinners, people will live 100 years. Righteous people, they will be living like a trees. Millennium is 1,000 years kingdom. We will be living for 1,000 years. There will be no death for the believers. But unbelievers, they might die 100 years old. Okay, verse 21.
And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
See, here is saying, when you have the vineyard, nobody will come and bother you. If you build your house, you will be able to live in house, nobody will take your houses. If you remember, we learned that God says, if you don't listen to me, I will give your houses to somebody, I'll give your vineyard to somebody, you have to leave everything and go. But once they come back, nobody will take their farms or nobody will take their houses and they will live peaceably. Verse 23.
They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call I will answer, and while they are yet speaking I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
See, up to now he says the wild beast were eating them and destroying them. But he said the time will come, no lion, no any fierce animal will eat you or bite you or not to do anything. Even the serpent will not bite you. The serpent will eat the dust, and the lion will eat the straw, means grass. And so no animal will bother you. No person will rob you or take your houses or anything. Everybody will live in peaceful kingdom for 1,000 years. That's the message God is giving to Israeli people. And for us, we just read, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can live peacefully here, and when we come back in a millennium, we will be with Jesus Christ for the millennium.
And ye my flock, and the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Chapter 35. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate.
Okay, now here, subject changed. Up to now, God was talking to the Israeli people, and talking about, you are my sheep, and I'm going to send a good shepherd, and I myself will be your shepherd. But here, the subject changed. Now here he's talking about the enemy of Israel. Now as we learn, Abraham had two children, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac got two children, Esau and Jacob. From Jacob came the Israeli people. From Esau came the Muslim people, all Arabian people. Now, we'll read a couple of verses and you'll get some idea. Go to Genesis chapter 32, verse 3.
And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom.
Now, land of Seir and the country of Edom. Now, where Esau was living, And there was a mountain Seir, and he settled there, and he became Edom. Genesis chapter 33, verse 16.
So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir.
Okay, now here he's talking about when Jacob came to see him, and he saw him, and then he was telling Jacob, okay, let's come and I'll take you. I have warriors and they will take care of you. He said, don't worry, you go. I don't have to rush because I have animals and babies. And so God will take care of me. You don't worry. And so the Esau went, and he went to Seir, means that's mountain called. And then he went there and settled. Genesis chapter 36, verse 8.
Thus dwelt Esau on Mount Seir, Esau's Edom.
Now see, here is clear. Esau lived in Mount Seir, and the Esau is called Edom. And so, here the word of God is saying, now the message against the Edom. And they are the worst enemy of Israel from the beginning. Because Esau was so angry that his father gave blessing to Jacob. Jacob became Israel. And then he didn't get anything. He cried and cried. So he had that grudge from the beginning, and they were harassing Israeli people. And now in this chapter, God is trying to tell the Edomic people or Esau's family why God is mad at them. Okay, let's go back to the Ezekiel chapter 35, starting from verse 4.
I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end.
Now here the Lord is saying, why am I angry at you? Because you have hatred from the beginning. And that hatred, you keep on shedding the blood of my people. And not only that, when God sent enemies from Babylon to take Israeli nations, then Esau's family and his troops start saying, God is trying to destroy you people. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take your land, and I'm going to take care of you. And not only that, he helped Babylonian people to destroy these people. They tried to help. Just like you are angry at your child and you are punishing, and somebody says, you are not hitting hard enough. Let me come and beat your child. And he comes to help you. You will not like that man who is trying to help you to beat your child. That's what happened. God is saying, when I was punishing my people, you tried to come and you tried to destroy them. I noticed that. That's what God is saying. Okay, verse 6.
Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. And I will fill his mountains with his slain men. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword.
Now, God is saying, I am angry at you because you, the time of my Israeli people were suffering, and you add more suffering to them. So what I'm going to do, the sword will come. Now, this time, God is not sending any Babylonian people or any other enemies, but God is saying, my own people, Israeli people, will destroy you. Most of the time we saw all other countries were destroyed by other enemies, but the Muslim people will be destroyed by Israeli people. So he's saying, Israeli people will be killing you in your mountains, in your valleys, and all your rivers, and everywhere you will be running, and you will be killed by sword. Verse 9.
I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy cities shall not return, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there.
God is saying, why I'm angry? Because when the children of Israel were punished by God, you came and started rejoicing and saying, what I'm going to do, all these two nations, who are two nations? Israeli people and Judah. Israeli had the kingdom in Samaria. Judah has their kingdom in Jerusalem. Now all those people left. He said, now all these two defeated nations, I'm going to take care of them, and I'm going to be their boss, and they are going to be under me. I'm going to take care of them. God said, that's why I'm punishing you. Verse 11.
Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume.
God says, because you saw my children leave their mountains, leave their places were desolate, and you said, now I am going to consume them. When God was already angry at them, God didn't want any other person trying to get advantage. Like I said, if you're angry, you're beating your child, you don't want anybody coming and start beating your child because you're angry at your child. God is saying, I didn't like that, what you did. That's why children of Israel will destroy you. Verse 13.
Thus with your mouth have ye boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate.
See what God is saying. What you said against my children, I heard it. So the point I'm making, even though your enemies trying to destroy you, trying to take advantage of you, and you saying nobody's listening, nobody's helping, God says, I heard it. Your enemy tried to destroy you, God takes note of it. You don't have to do anything. You just come to God and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. He says, come under my wings, under my shelter, and I will protect you. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to go and kill somebody. God will take care of it. He says, once you love the Lord, God says, I heard you, what you're talking against my people, and God will take care of your enemy. You don't have to worry. Our enemy, they are God's enemy. Because once you love the Lord, God is your partner. And you don't have to worry about enemy. He will take care of your enemies. Verse 14.
As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
God is saying, I am going to destroy you. Most of the places we learn, God says, I'm going to raise other enemies and they will come and they will destroy you. But here the God is saying, I am myself going to destroy you. That means God is going to fight for you. And if you read the book of Obadiah, there's only one chapter. Please read that. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1. And verse 18, only two verses. You have to read the whole chapter.
The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle.
Now he said Edom. God is saying, I am going to fight against Edom. And God is raising the Israeli people. In this chapter you'll see, God allow Israeli people to destroy these Muslim people. Verse 18.
And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it.
See what God is saying. Children of Israel will be like a fire, and the Esau will be like a wood. That means just like fire consumes the wood, that's the way Israeli people will burn these people, destroy these people like a wood. Because God is angry. How many years from Jacob and Esau, how many years bitterness they have, and they are not giving up that bitterness. Israeli people are tiny nations, and all Muslim people all around them trying to destroy them, trying to completely push them in the sea. And Iranian people, they said they want to wipe out these Israeli people out of the map. And that's what their desire is. But the psalmist says, let's read the Psalm, 83 Psalms, verse 4, and then verse 13 and 14. See their prayer, and exactly God is going to answer their prayer. Yeah, 83 verse 4. You have to read the whole Psalm. I don't have time.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Who are they? All these Muslim people say, let's cut these people off. Let's take them off of this map. Let them destroy completely. And they do not want Israeli people to be alive. Verse 13.
Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind.
Make them like a stubble, like the leaves, dry leaves, before Israeli people. Verse 14.
As the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire.
Okay, he says, let the Israeli people be like a fire, and those people should be like a chaff, and let them burn and destroy. And that's why the word of God is saying, I am going to do it in the last days. I am going to use Israeli people as a fire, and all Muslim people will be like wood, and they will be destroyed. He says there is no restoration for them. They will be consumed like a wood, and the Israeli people will be like a flame of fire, and they will be completely destroyed. China, hundreds and thousands, not hundreds and thousands, millions of people getting saved, and people are coming, even the some of the people working in the companies, and they have prayer meetings in the factories, and people are trained how to be Christian, because they learn Christian people are not thieves, they are not robbers, they are good people. In America, we don't have freedom to pray in your companies or pray in your office, but the Christian people do not have place to worship. But the time is going to change. God is going to give us a chance that we can gather together and pray and worship. Christian people will be learning in the schools and colleges, and the time is going to change. Shall we rise? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace and hope. But the time has come that you are going to give the freedom to your people, Christian people, to pray, to preach, to tell somebody about Jesus without a fear. Give each and every citizen a grace to talk about Jesus. We believe you have started a good work and you are going to complete it. Many people dying without God and without Christ, but you are going to use your people to tell the truth and tell the people about Jesus Christ without a fear, because you are coming very soon. Whatever the time you are given to us, let us use it wisely to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we learn your word that we do not have to be afraid like a heathen. We don't have to worry about like a heathen, but we just trust in God, who is our good shepherd, who is going to take care of us, and no enemy has power to destroy us. So Lord, give us holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.